Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're going to have Pastor John Durden, who ordained me 14 years ago. His daughter, Sister Candace Durden, administrative staff and associate a pastor here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We've been on the air 14 years. Without further interruption, we give you Chaplain John Durden for 1 hour and 40 minutes. You got the mic.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brother John, Brother John Durden. It's good to be with you again once more. And I just pray that everything will go smooth, and I wish you all well, and thanks again for tuning in. The title of this session tonight is called Several Ways God Speaks to Us. Several Ways God Speaks to Us. And you go, what are those ways, Brother John? Well, one way is the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through a still, small voice. He also speaks to us the first person. That's when he himself is speaking through someone else, but he's the one saying, I. Another way he speaks to us is through speeches, dark speeches. What did he mean by that? He can be speaking to us through dark speeches and riddles. Sometimes he gave his apostles and them riddles and kind of stuff like that. And you go, well, and you try to figure it out, and then they come to an understanding. You say, wow, that's pretty heavy. He speaks to us through audibly himself, and he speaks to us by perceiving thoughts. You'd be thinking, I wonder if that's God, if that's me, or is that the flesh, or is that the devil? And then he speaks to us through his audible voice. Let me back up again. Seven ways I'm going to talk about how he speaks to us. One, he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Two, he speaks to us through that still, small voice. Three, he speaks in the first person when he says, I. Sometimes when he used some of the prophets in the Bible, New Testament ministers, they would say, they would speak in the first person. He would say, I am that I am. And then he says, I'm using this guy, but it's me speaking personally in the first person. He also speaks in dark speeches and riddles. You said this, but I don't understand the thing you said. Well, he wants you to get the verse, study, figure it out, and it'll be a beautiful revelation to you. Then he speaks to us through perceiving thoughts. You said, they go, look, why? I'm thinking this. Wow. Is this? Hey. And then you could figure that, say, well, that's not me. That got to be God. So sometimes he speaks to us through our thoughts. And that's one thing we really got to get attuned to, especially myself, you know, because sometimes I'm thinking things and half the time I'll be thinking it's me, you know, and I say, oh, my Lord, that's a pastor of the Lord. The sixth way is audible voice through another. Audible voice through another. That's when you have your buddy, your friend, your mama, your daddy, your son, or whoever, to tell you something. Say, mama, a brother, a sis, uncle, you know, if you like the Lord, want me to tell you so-and-so kind of thing. And go, wow. Just like every time I go, you know, when I was in my 30s, God said, let's see, he says, you've been called to be a minister. You've been called to be a chaplain. You know, I go, not me. I'm majoring in personnel administration. You know, and I want to hire people for federal jobs. And I ended up getting that job for 30 years. But finally, when I retired from that, boom, I got the call to go into the ministry as a chaplain. Then I had to go 3 more years of school. So God uses people to talk to us as well. Might be a child or whoever. But I'm going to give you a quick background on myself. First of all, again, my name is John Durden. And I have 3 master's degrees. One master's was in human resources, which means personnel administration, because I love personnel. So when I finished school, I was a personnel administrator for 30 years with the federal government, hiring people for federal jobs, ranging from $20,000 to $100,000 a year. That's what I did for 30 years. When I retired, the Lord called me into the ministry, and I went to seminary. And while I was in seminary, I gained 2 master's degrees there. The first one, after 2 years, I got a master's in counseling. But when I completed the 3 years required, then I got a master's in theology. And before I know it, some guy called me and told me, Brother, Mr. John, could you come out of the hospital for an interview? And I go, huh? I didn't have no job over there. Sir, would you come for an interview, please? He says, how do you guys know about me? Sir, would you please come for an interview? And he never told me. So I went to the hospital and come find out the job was a senior head chaplain. I've never been an assistant chaplain, more or less going to be been considered for the head chaplain. And they unanimously had about 7 of them on behind the table. And I'm on one side of the table, 7 on the other. All of them interviewed me. And I got a thumbs up from all 7. I said, my God, I ain't never been a chaplain in my life. I know what a chaplain do, you know, but I got hired. So I worked there and up 25 years. So, I mean, I'm sorry, 20 years, 30 years with the federal government and 20 years as a chaplain. It was a wonderful experience. So, you know, I got three master's degrees from school, personnel administration, then one in counseling and one in human resources, and I served as a chaplain 20 years. With respect to my salvation, I'll just say that right quick. I was just raised up believing that just because I was a, because I went to church almost every Sunday. I tithed my income. What else? Oh, and I taught Sunday school, you know, and I was a deacon. I thought I was on my way to heaven to find the Lord had a sense of me. Because I finally got convicted and asked the Lord, if I'm not saved, please let me know. Because if I ain't, I sure hate to die and find out you tell me to depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. I said, so I ain't right, Lord. Because most everybody asks, my fellow deacons, oh, you all right, man, John? You're not a head deacon and you this and that. You got all these titles and all. Yeah, you sing in the men's choir. And so I went to the Lord. The Lord told me if I'd die, I would have bust hell wide open. Because I had based my salvation on my activities in the church. What I did, you know, hey, I sing in the male's choir. I help with the Sunday school. I teach Sunday school. And I'm a deacon. And every first Sunday we serve communion. And then then we get our little communion kit and go meet the go visit the sick and the shut-in so we can give them communion. You know, all of you can tell me nothing. I was on my way to heaven. Then finally, when and God kind of nudged me and said, you need to talk to somebody. So I've sat there, and I was in the room at 3 o'clock that afternoon, and a voice came to me. It was an audible voice, but nobody was there. Said, my son, don't you know if you die tonight, you're not into my kingdom. I mean, it blew my mind. So what I did, I got an excuse to go home. And then the next day, that happened at 3 o'clock. Then the next day, I went to work. And do you know, at 3 o'clock again, John, my son, as soon as you died tonight, you're not into my kingdom. I go, oh, well, you know this. And then I went home. And then that, when I went to bed, 3 o'clock in the morning, John, don't you know if you died tonight, you're not into my kingdom. Man, I got up, walked the floor, crying, everything. And so I said, I don't know, I'm going crazy. Man, boy, tell me about that. So this next time I went to work, God sent the base commander, I'm talking about the big brass himself, walked in and told me that he's there on from the direction of the Lord, told me that the Lord told him to tell me that if I die, I would enter the kingdom of heaven. And I sat there and listened, and he prayed. He said, yeah, you did all these things, John, but that was just good activities. You singing choir, big deal, Brother John, big, cool, man, cool, you cool, but you're still going to hell. Like, what do you mean? He says, have you ever accepted Christ? I said, what do you mean, accept Christ? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, three things, Brother John. We got to accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And then the second thing we got to do is confess in our heart and spirit that he's the Son of God. He said, you'd be surprised how many people don't believe in Jesus. I mean, he was just a religious fanatic, and God ain't got no son. And they throw this one at me. Have God ever been married? Tell me, huh? Have God ever been married, boy? And I'd be going, no. Well, how you got a son? And he talking about we don't supposed to fornicate and commit adultery and stuff like that. Well, if he got a son and they haven't been married, that means Jesus bought. I said, don't go there. I may not understand that God, that's his son. I'm happy with that. If God wanted us to know, God would have told us. Okay? Okay, Brother John, you know, kind of a thing. So he told me, so I sit there and say, I accept you as Lord and Savior, Lord. I'm sorry. He said, next thing you do, tell me sorry for all your sins. I'm sorry for my sins. Tell him you accept him as you, that you believe he's the Son of God. I say, I believe you're the Son of God. Now I asked him to come in. And I said, come in, Lord. And boy, that was Friday evening. When I woke up that Saturday morning, I wasn't the same John. I went to bed. And I'm here to teach, not to give my whole life story. So, yeah, I'm saved too. I'm not just a preacher or just a man who said, I think I want to be a preacher. I'm one who's been called, y'all, because I did 30 years with the federal government, and I was happy to sit down until God called me. And then I had to go to seminary at the age of 52, 53, and 54. I didn't go to seminary like the other guys at 20s and their 30s. I was in my, when I was in seminary, with all those young dudes. Okay, so I got, I have a master's degree, three of them. I worked 30 years as a personal administrator and 20 years as a hospital chaplain. And I got saved too. I'm not just a preacher who called myself, oh, that's a nice job to have. I've got prestige and all that. I'm in here because God saved me and told me I had to have a personal relationship, not just join the church. All you do is become a member of the church. You don't become a member of my family. That's exactly what he told me. Now, I want to pray, and then we'll get into it. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit would empower me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness this evening. And Lord, I pray that the listeners, as well as myself, that our minds be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. And I pray also, Father, that the Spirit of Truth, who I know is the Spirit of Truth, move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son. And I pray that your words bring salvation, would bring healing and deliverance to all here listening this evening. And it's in the name of your divine Son, my personal Lord and Redeemer, Christ Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen. And you know, when I've got through studying, I studied this thing. I had about 4 or 5 books on the Holy Spirit that I got from the store. And it was some interesting things because, you know, I learned a whole lot of stuff through teaching it because, you know, for half my life, all the time I was 40, all I was hearing is rehab is written word, rehab is written word. I go, yeah, I know it. We got the Bible right here. But I wasn't reading it and medicating on it. I had it in my hand. Rehab is written word. Rehab. And then finally, I was arguing with one guy. I said, well, we have written word. He said, yeah, I know, but why don't you do it? Why don't you apply it? What's in there? I go, kind of thing. I said, we got his written word. He said, yeah, what does it say? Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tell me so. You know, he said, John, you're crazy. You need to get in the word and study that word, man. He says, I was raised up under that. We have his written word. There's a lot of things that you need to do. If you have written word, why don't you apply it to your life? So I prayed. I got down on my knees one night and said, Lord, I'm ready. I am 40 years old now, and I really want to know your word. Teach me. And teach me all that crap that I've been taught all my life because I didn't know any better. Because sometimes I know some teachers and professors don't know either because they've been taught under some dumb professors, you know. And so I said, Lord, teach me. Teach me your word. And he started teaching me. Here I am teaching on the Holy Spirit and things like that. I know it pretty good, but I volunteered to do some teaching. I said, oh, guess what you got to do now, Brother John? Talking about that. You really got to dig now and study and learn that stuff because you're not teaching to first seminary students. You're talking to evangelists. You're talking to pastors. You're talking to doctors. You're talking to preachers. You're talking to, I don't know, a whole bunch of folks that really know the Lord. And I said, yeah. So I prayed. I always do every time I pray. I get down in the living room, get on my knees, put a pillow, and I might pray for a whole hour saying, Lord, these are your people. I don't want to speak and preach nothing in error because if I'm going to teach in error, I'll just shut down and just chill the rest of my retirement years and just chill sitting on my front porch and going traveling down the floor and stuff like that because I'm not about to get up and teach a bunch of lies or teach a bunch of error because I love it and I don't want to embarrass you. And I don't want to teach something wrong and cause somebody to go astray. Well, Brother John said I could do it, you know. The Lord said, John, you're silly. So I got a good friendship with the Lord. And so he's teaching me. So help me God. Some said, get up and study some more. I've been studying all day yesterday, about 8 hours. Do you know I came and I got my breakfast and everything else? Took the dog off a walk. And do you know I was at this table, say, from 12 o'clock to about an hour ago? I was reading this stuff over and over and over because I don't want God to be mad at me. He said, I call you to preach. I ain't call you to preach no lies and errors, boy. You know, kind of thing. I said, you ain't going to get to spank me. So what I always do to cover myself, I say, Lord, and you know what I'm teaching that? Oh, Lord, where's my counselor? That's what I told him. Where's my counselor? And then I say, oh, yeah, okay. I say, Holy Spirit, where are you? You know, like that. I guess he said, John, you're crazy. So I say, sometimes I recognize the person. Look, I need your help now. I'm talking about 7 ways you and God the Father and God the Son Jesus talks to us human beings. Now I'm going to be talking about how y'all communicate with us. I said I don't even know if that's what I'm supposed. I'm divided between 2 things. Should I preach on the way God speak to us, or should I speak on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like tongues, interpretation, tongue healing? And all? I said, nobody heard me do that about 2 or 3 times. I want. And then I said, tell me. I said, I'm going to sit right here until you tell me. I said, you convict me. So I laid down on the floor, right there on the sofa. I said, tell me, which one? Should I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Should I speak about the way you talk to us? And all of a sudden, I was drawn. I had books on one side about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and books on the other side about how the Holy Spirit. And before I knew it, I was drawn to the books there on the right. And it was talking about how to recognize God. And I said, wow. So I've been reading it from 12 noon all the way to about an hour ago, over and over and over. I love God's word. Okay, so I said this. Okay, Lord, See, you got to see the scriptures. Let me see the scriptures. Here we go. The first one I'm going to talk about, remember I said we're going to talk about seven ways God speaks to us. The first one's going to be about the Holy Spirit, okay? And then the scripture that covered that says this, Matthew 10:18-20 says, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Now, this is talking about hearing the voice of God, okay, in all seven stages. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but guess who? The Holy Spirit, your comforter, will be speaking through you. I say, praise the Lord. The next means how God will speak to us is the still small voice. And let me share a scripture about the still small voice. It says this. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, and it says, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. He speaks to us in still small voice. Okay? Then the third way he speaks to us is, let's see, let me turn to the third one is first person. You know, like when you're speaking, you're the first person. And the scripture comes from Numbers, chapter 12, verse 8, and says this. Now, when I be reading scripture, sometimes I be reading from the NIV, sometimes the King James Version, some of the King James Version, some from the Standard Version. All right, it says the first person. That's another way he speaks to us, first person. With him, talking about Moses, I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God was chewing up, and folks told me, that's personal, buddy. That's my mania. And then, that was the first person. Another way to speak to us is through dark speeches and riddles. Dark speeches and riddles. And the verse that they gave for that title is, with him I speak face to face. They're talking about God speaking with Moses and any other believers. But him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He was jumping on his back with his criticizing Moses and all that. You know, ain't all that kind of a thing. God said, he's doing what I told him. I speak personally to Moses because that's my man. That's dog. He speak dog speeches and riddles. Then I have another title, another one. Let me see, one, two, three, four. Okay, the other one, he speaks to us in thoughts. Yeah, every time you think something, I'm always, that was hard for me to get over because every time I used to think something, I thought it was me. Until finally, after getting with some born-again, spirit-filled brothers who knew their word, and they said, John, when things come into your head, I said, yeah, man, it makes me mad. Sometimes I'm thinking crazy stuff, think about old stuff I used to do, and I think about how much fun I used to have and all that. He said, that's not you. I go, no. He says, be you in some of them, but it could be a demonic spirit trying to get you to go back into those behaviors. You see, in other words, John, every time you're thinking something, I don't care if you're drinking a Coke, laying across the bed or watching TV or driving and your mind going a mile a minute, that don't necessarily mean that's you because you think, I said, and me and my stupid said, I didn't know. I didn't even say I didn't know. I said, I ain't know. I used the word ain't. I ain't know. He says, yeah, you didn't know that. I said, no. I thought every time I think something, it's me and my old PBA friend. You mean to tell me what I'm thinking? Sometimes the thoughts come from demonic stuff. You say, yep. Like, for example, John, so you see a good-looking girl walk down there, and you look at them, man, I sure let go to bed. Is that you? I go, heck no, man. I ain't going to bed over no woman's vagina. You crazy? I ain't that stupid. My mom ain't raised no fool. He said, well, then you know that's not your thought. So what about who you think that is? That's not God. I said, oh, my God. Sure enough. You know, that kind of a thing. And then sometimes I think, well, that was a great revelation for me because I always share that when I'm sharing with other folks, you know, because to let you know that just because you're thinking it, it ain't you. It could be Satan or one of his demonic spirits want to get you to go back to what you used to do. And I used to have a lot of fun when I used to do that. I really enjoyed myself when I used to do that and them and those and that kind of a thing. So I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And when I picked it, it said, perceiving thoughts. And I'm going to share about that with what I read on that. And this is because you're thinking it. And this is because you wish something to sound right. You better check it with the word. That's why God tells us to stay in the word. And you know that those thoughts, some of those thoughts are not yours, kind of a thing. Let me see. I said, okay, which one I'm going to go to? That was perceiving thoughts. He speaks to us through our thoughts. He speaks to us through audible voice of another. Audible voice of another. It comes from First Samuel. Say audible voice of another. Let's talk about, you know, like Samuel and Eli. When Eli, when God spoke to Samuel, and he was a young baby, a young boy, he went, yeah, you call me? He said, no, go back to bed, son. He did it three times. He said, you know what? That's not me calling you, what you're thinking. That's the Lord. And he went back. This is what scripture says. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he was just a child. Not had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you call me. And then Eli says, Eli discerned. So I said, this joker must be hearing from God. So then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, son, go lie down. And if it shall be, if he calls you, and when I say he, I'm talking about the Lord, that you say, shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So if you hear that voice again, don't come running to me. Just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then from then on, God was working with him. That's called audible voice of another. God used Samuel as another voice to tell Eli that that was God trying to talk to him. And then you have the God himself. The last one is called the audible voice of God. And I got this from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And it says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, again, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, which is the Lord, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, be sure you walk in my word. So I said there are several ways God speaks to us. And one is going to be by the way of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us, Holy Spirit, talk to us. And then sometimes we get that still small voice. That's the second way God speaks to us. The third way he speaks to us is a first person. First person, that's when a person was directed by God to speak directly to you, first person, other person. And then God was speaking. If you remember, I can't remember all those riddles and stuff in the Bible, and God used to talk to his apostles and stuff like that. But sometimes when God speaks to you, it's called dark speeches and riddles. God would say something, you might read a scripture, and the gap say, I don't know what he said, you know, kind of thing. And through searching and seizing and through other apostle stuff, they were able to break it down to him and say, you know what God was saying to you? Blah, 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 blah. I said, I didn't know, man. You know, so God speaks to us in dark speeches and riddles sometimes. So when a thought comes into your mind and you don't quite understand it, you can bet your Bible say, wait a minute. Why would I be thinking something about something I don't quite understand? Just maybe that's God trying to talk to me. And then you just go and pray and say, Lord, if that's you, I ask that you reveal it to me. God speak in dark speeches and riddles. He also speak to us in our thoughts. And that's primary sometimes the ways he talked to us too. When you be sitting there in the car or whatever, mind your own business and so you know you ought to pray for sister so-and-so. Or you need to go to the hospital and so-and-so. And I know most of my cases when I was a chaplain for those 20 years, I'd be in my office and I don't know who's dying and who isn't dying. They'd wait till the person died and they call me, Chaplain John, you want to come down here? The person is dying. It was the next 5, 10, 15 minutes. Well, before the person called me, some say, go down there in the room there, emergency room, someone about to pass. And I'm thinking it was my thought. I said, every time somebody always passing. So I went, and then when the nurse called, I said, oh, my God, that must have been God. And sometimes I still didn't realize it. I said, oh, that nurse just confirmed what I was thinking. Then I go down there and pray with the person. You know, she died. And God always wake me up. You know, I was sleeping during the day when I was 20 years at Reckon Hospital. God would always tell me who was about to die. And he said, John, go to the emergency room. Or John, go up to the room. I'm about to take this person home. I said, you know, most times he would say, I'm about to take this person home. Sometimes this person's about to pass. And then when I go into the room, there was an elder lady. And I said, ma'am, I don't know what your situation is, but, you know, I just felt come pray with you. You know, I didn't say, well, I heard from God, you're dying. I said, oh, by the way, you're a precious flower. If you, the Lord decided to take you home right now, where would you go, darling? Well, I hope, what you say you is? I said, I'm a chaplain. What's a chaplain? Then I tell her. She said, well, chaplain, I hope I go to heaven. I say, I got you. And she said, "What do you mean you got me?" I said, "You said I hope that means you ain't saved." She said, "Well, how you can say that? I've been in church for 30 years. I sang in the choir, and I did this, and I did this." And she started giving me run off 20, 15 things you've done in the church. I said, "You just told me good things you've done, baby." So she says, "Oh, my God." I said, "There's three things you got to do, angel. Tell God, one, you're sorry for all your sins." She said, "Uh-huh." I said, "The second thing, tell him you believe he's the Son of God." You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't believe in God. They think he's some old right man, some white man or some hypocrite, some lunatic, think he's God's son. Everybody know God ain't married and had no baby for some woman. That's how stupid that is. And no such thing as the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is it. Holy Ghost is not a person, you know. So you depend on who you're talking to. So she said, "Well, I believe in God." Mm-hmm. And I tell God, "I'm sorry for all my sins and stuff like that." And I said, "Have you ever invited him and asked him to save you?" "No, I thought because I joined the church." So I would lead her to the Lord. And folks, the last seven people I led to the Lord, do you know they died tomorrow? She said, "Sonny, come here and give mama a hug." This is when I was in my 40s and my 50s and my 60s when I was working in the hospital. And half of them who I led to the Lord would say, "Come here, Sonny, give mama a hug. Give mama a hug. And the hug and the lady collapsed my arm, you know. And I cried holding the lady. Then our family come and surround us and started crying. Did that for 20 years. So God used audible voice to speak to us. And then in the biggie is when he speak to us himself. Okay. He speak us through the Holy Spirit, through still small voice, through the first person. That's when you speaking. And then when he speaks in dog speech and riddles, he speaks in thoughts. That's the main one I had a problem with. Because every time I thought it was always me. You see, now I know now because, I mean, I'm heavy. I'm not heavy, but I'm deep in the word. I know what's wrong and what isn't. I know the Ten Commandments. I can say the Ten Commandments upside and down. I can start with the tenth and go on back up to the first one. Make sure that when my thoughts come in my head, I say, that's not in agreement with the Ten Commandments. Get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, by the way, take your demonic spirit. I'm not interested in fornication and adultery. Take that one with you, too. And then last one is the audible voice of God. I love that audible voice of God. Is there anything else I want to say? All right. I did my prayer and scriptures and stuff. All right. What I want to share is after I got through reading all those books and reading all day today, I got a note from Jesus. Now, this wasn't just yesterday. Do you know when I was about 12 years ago, I was going through all my old books, you know, stuff like that, because I was a chaplain. And I was thinking about throwing some old writing ones out, and then I saw this little note. And I opened it up, and guess what it said? A note from Jesus. I'm going to read it to you. I thought I lost it, and I didn't. And this is what it says. And you know, when God, I don't know how it got into my hand, but it was a response to my, "Lord, how can I hear your voice? I really want to hear your voice." You know, because I get people say, "The Lord says this, and the Lord says that, and the Lord says do this, and the Lord says do that." I want to know what you say. I want to hear you personally, too. I just want, because the person you're talking might be some kooky, don't know anything. And I don't want to go astray. "Well, Lord, I'm sorry you're sending me to hell, but Bishop so-and-so say I could do this." So anyway, this is what God said, "I'm sending, I want you to see it. I gave it to you." And folks, listen at this. It was a piece of paper and had a note from Jesus, and it's one of my old religious books that was in the closet. And I pulled it and I read it, and I started just folding and put it away. And then all of something deep down in my heart says, read it. And I go, "Lord, that's you," and nothing. I said, "Lord, that's you." I just want everybody just to see it on my own flesh, because I just want everybody to know what you're saying about yourself. And nothing. And I put it aside, and then the feeling got stronger. I said, "Okay, I know it's you, because, you know, I can't get it out of my mind, so I'm going to get it." And this is what the note said to me. It says this. It didn't say John. It says this. I said, "While going through some old spiritual books and devotionals, I discerned the information in this book that I found. It was written as a letter, which reads as follows." And this is what the thing said. Blew my mind. It says, "My son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. I do not shout over the daily turmoil sounds of the average household. My voice is not weak, but it is quiet and calm and severe. It takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear it. my voice, that is, that surrender must be complete. You must be completely sold out to me, soul, body, and spirit. For you to hear me, my son, it takes complete, not half, but complete surrender on your part before you can hear it. That surrender must be complete with respect to your soul, your body, and spirit. And then it goes on to say, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice. I do not answer casual inquiries. Hey, Lord, are you there? Can you speak to me? I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent and wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice, not the excitement seekers or the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. Or some say, we have his written word. We have his written word. They have my voice, too. And let me say that again. I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting, who hears my voice, not the excitement seekers or the stubborn fool, but who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. I said, wow, okay, Lord, okay. And then after I read that, I started reading. Some said, go back and write what you get out of that, John. I said, God, that's a man. And so I didn't know he's preparing me for the night with this too, you know. So I said, okay, Lord. So I read what that stuff about, what he said, what I read the other day. And guess what came into my out of my spirit? I wrote it down. I wrote four things down. And I got a title, My Personal Comments from the Reading. Number one, God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, reputation, position, accomplishments, or degrees. God sees and evaluates our heart, the inner person, and his favor rests on those whose heart are sincerely turned toward him in love, faith, and purity. Let me share that again. God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person, and his favor rests on those whose hearts are sincerely, not who got these degrees and who got them degrees and those degrees, but whose hearts are sincerely turned toward him in love and in faith and in purity. That's in Galatians 2:6. Then number three thought came to my mind. I wrote this down. I said, moreover, God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or the uneducated. Because you remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did God touch those Pharisees and Sadducees? No way. I mean, he wants you to get all the education you get, but don't let that education think that's what's going to get you in heaven. Not only should you have the education, but you should be real with him, be honest with him, love him with all your heart and everything else. God is saying that if all you got is education, and you think that's going to get you in heaven, you can forget. I don't care how many doctor degrees or how many master degrees you got. If you don't know me personally and you have not been living the life that I told you, you know the Ten Commandments. And if you were disobeying them, and if you should die by chance for you got to repent of those sins, your butt going straight down. He says, I have nothing to say to them but depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew. I didn't die so you can do those things down there. I didn't die so you can have all your party fun. I didn't die so you can fornicate. I didn't die so you can masturbate. I didn't die so you can steal and so on and lie. I died for righteousness. If I had not died, nobody would have been saved. I died, and you can be saved, but you got to come to me. I am the door, and there's no other way. And you better be righteous when you knock on my door when you die. You never know when your time comes. I said, excuse me. Lord, I hear you. He says, moreover, God does not prefer the love and fellowship and prayers of the uneducated, like somebody who's got third grade education, high school education. He says, I don't put them above somebody who got all these doctors and master's degrees. You know, to me, I look at the spirit of the man and the woman. They got to be right with me. They must be sinless. And you know what? Because I don't know the Bible like I want to, and I don't want to go to hell. And you know, because I don't know the Bible, everything about it, I mean, sin don't know it. I know the major, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not fornicate, thou shalt not, what else, kill, and thou shalt not, and all this stuff. Well, that's easy. But there are other things that I don't know. I don't know the Bible totally, you know. And so when I pray and I can cover my behind, I go, Lord, if I have sinned against you, I ask to tell you what, I ask you to forgive me all the sins I know, and the sins unknown, known and unknown. That covered my tracks. I say, maybe I did something to offend God and didn't know it. So I always say, hey, Lord, if I offended you, ask you to forgive me for all the sins that I committed, knowing usually when I get mad at somebody, I wish that joker would die. I would beat his butt. Well, that's simple thoughts, you know, so I say, forgive me, Lord, you know. So God does not prefer love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful. So you can be real educated. You can be powerful, like you can be the president of this company or the president of the United States. Uneducated, he give each one equal evaluation. He look at the poor and the rich and the medium and say, do you love me? Have you accepted me as your Lord and Savior? Have you been living my word? I don't mean living my word on Sunday and backsliding on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because I see that too. My angels see you. Each one of y'all have a personal angel who watches everything you do and put it back. And there's a zillions of angels out here with me. I got them dispatched all over. I got so many angels, God said, I can have 1,000 angels to every person on earth. But you got one that's called the familiar spirit, because I know about spirits now, because God led me into demonology now. Sometimes I help Brother Emmett cast out demons and stuff like that. And so, and I hear them talking. They be possessed. A person might be possessed with a person be walking up the wall, hanging from the wall upside down. Ha, 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 what do you think about that, John? You know. So I've seen them myself. I've seen guys float up the steps, run up the steps. You float up the steps and just hang there and look back at me. Don't you wish you can do that? Be some young kid, some girl who been wishing witchcraft and all this stuff. Then the last thing, he says, what else you get out of it? I said, once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. You can't do all that crazy stuff in your world. It means walking by faith, which includes opening oneself to the miracles ministry of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I want to get into the session that I've been praying for all day today. One, the lesson. First of all, I learned we must have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us, okay? So I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit for a second. We must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to properly, accurately, and precisely know the nature and the ways and the voice of God. We have to be obedient to his word. To hear the voice of God, we must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to speak for God. We must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I mean, get to know the Holy Spirit, because God said, hey, buddy, I'm going back up there. I'm sending the Holy Spirit down there. And guess what? He's just like me. He's a duplicate of me. And he's your what? He's your comforter what? He's your counselor as well. So God speaks to us primarily through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature. He can communicate what? Through the believers. What else? Sometimes he lets us know what God wants to do for that day. Sometimes he help us in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey. And sometimes he help us in our calling. All of a sudden, you go, you know, I feel like I was called to be a teacher. I feel like I'm called to be a doctor. And that's the Holy Spirit nudging you. Say, hey, don't you know Revelation? Which one is it? Jeremiah 29:11. Say, don't you know I have a plan for your life? A plan not of calamity problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope. So get about it. Find out what my plan is for your life. Again, the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believer. Moreover, the Holy Spirit is the most important person to us in our spiritual walk, y'all, in our spiritual journey, in our calling. What have I been called to do? In our ministry. Your ministry may not be in religion. You can be a teacher, nurse, or whatever. But you're a godly woman, a godly man, where you can impact those who you work around that don't have the slightest idea who Jesus thinks. He's just a good man. And as we grow in hearing the voice of God, we will be able to distinguish when God is speaking to us. And another way of saying that, the more you stay in that word, when that crazy thought comes into your head, tell me, you ought to do this. You ought to murder him. You ought to shoplift here. You ought to do this and that. And every time I say, I say, get thee behind me, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's what I always say when the thought comes ahead of him. You know, like I was in the grocery store the other day, and I was buying some groceries. And I walk into the teller. Obviously, she must be got attracted to me. And here I'm an 80-year-old guy. I think she almost made me pass out. She said, hi, what's your name? I said, John. She said, John. Something. She laughed. She's about in her 40s. But she had no idea I was 80. Because if you look at me, I look like I'm in my 70s. You know? So she said, why don't you come see me sometime? I said, excuse me. She says, oh, don't worry. She says, I live by myself. My children are going and gone. And I live by myself. Come see me. You want me to give you an address? I said, no, ma'am. I don't think so. I can't. And she said, oh, excuse me. You want those goody, goody, goodies? I said, no, ma'am. I'm just a follower of the Lord. She said, have a good day. I said, yes, ma'am. Thank you. The Holy Spirit speaks us. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he be doing the following thing. He can speak to us. He guides us by speaking to us. He teaches us the word. He comments on about the Bible and about the Lord. He intercedes for us. He sends workers. He sends workers like yourself, myself, to certain jobs and for an interview and stuff like that. Because that's how I got that job at Fort McPherson as a federal employee. Because I was working at a bank and I said, "This ain't me. I don't need dealing no accounts and stuff like that." And I prayed Thursday night, and after I got through praying that morning, somebody said, "John, go to Fort McPherson." And I go, "Where'd that come from?" Now you know it. John, I said, "Go to Fort McPherson." "Where'd that come from?" And then the third time, he said, "Son," I said, "go to Fort McPherson. And there's vacancies there." And I go, but I was still thinking that was my thoughts. When I went out, they guess what? They had 300 people working in that personnel office. And in that personnel office, they didn't have 300 people working there. Not one was black. I ended up being the first black that they had in that job. So God gave me the job working as a personnel administrator. Okay. So the lesson. Now, that was the Holy Spirit. He told you what God does. Through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. He guides us. Communicate with us. He intercedes for us. Stuff like that. He comforts us. And he sends us to where he wants to go to witness on somebody. Now, the next one is the still small voice. Like, hey, the still small voice. And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was, I mean the scripture, after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, I want you to know that when we're hearing the still small voice of God, it is another supernatural way God speaks to his people. Because sometimes, I'm hearing things in my head. I think I need to go and see a psych or something. But no, God, like, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Hearing the still small voice of God is another supernatural way God speaks to his people. Whether you recognize it or not, the Lord speaks to us frequently through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I still deal with that. Go, Lord, I hear you sometimes I don't. I say, oh, excuse me, Holy Spirit, I hear you speaking to me sometimes I don't. I sure let know when you, because I'm still battling. Every time I have some thought, is that you, Lord? Is that you, Holy Spirit? Is that you fleshly thing? Is that you, Satan? And I'm going, who in the world is speaking to me these thoughts? Then so I say, well, let me think about this thought and see how it compared to the word of God. And I go, oh, that's not Jesus. That's not so-and-so. That's just greed. That's just doing something to get a little bit of popularity. I don't want no popularity. That's how Satan fell. Pride, and got his butt kicked out of heaven. That's one of the, that's the main first sin that Satan did. He tried to, and then when he got kicked out of heaven, and when Jesus finally went down in the man person, then he told him, I'll give you this, and I'll give you that, and wish to fall down and worship me, and I'll give you them, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you that. See, he's working on pride, still at pride. And you know what Jesus told him, so many words where he can go. All right. Okay, the still small voice. So when you think in something and you can't decipher what it is, then just speak to the Holy Spirit. I'm getting a thought. I don't know if you really want to go give this lady something to eat because she's hungry, or is it just a thought, a prideful thought. Say, look at what Mr. Soames brought me, hon. Bought me some breakfast and bought me some dinner and stuff. And you have to, ha, ha, boy, I'm proud. Yeah, they worship me. Look what I did for her. You know, the reason is why you're doing it. So we have to recognize who is speaking in our thoughts. And remember that hearing the still small voice of God is another supernatural. Whether you recognize it or not, the Lord speaks to us frequently through his Holy Spirit. So when you get a thought, if you don't quite know if it's you or the Lord or the devil, you pray about it and say, Lord, let me know if that's you. You don't have to ask him, is that the devil? You have to answer that. You know right off. But so you're trying to say, is it it's the Lord or is the flesh? The flesh might say, I want to be recognized. I want to see this. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at the great I am kind of thing, okay? All right. The Lord speaks in this way. I'm still talking about the small voice, the still small voice. What I want to say, the law of speech in this way, he gives personal, he gives us personal directives. When you see, get a leading, I should go there, I shouldn't go there. Well, this kind of thing. And then you find out it was a blessing in the Lord, because sometimes God sent me, man, it's really a blessing. I'm not here to tell all the testimony, because I never get through with the sharing what I learned from the readings. But when he sent you, then something wonderful happened. Maybe somebody got saved. Are you here to bless somebody with some money? Are you here to bless somebody to take them somewhere because they need to go to the doctor and they was homesick and then that, you know, that kind of thing. Urged to call somebody, and without you knowing, that person was really sick and they were dying, in the process of dying. And you call in time, say, honey, I don't feel so good. I got to go to the doctor, and I just can't drive. Don't feel. And then God say, I'll take you, honey. And you go in person. You got that person in time. See, so you got to check out your thoughts. The Lord speak, and this way to give personal directives. That's a small voice speak to you. Do this. It's a small voice. And so he used that small voice to give us directives, to give us guidance, and sometimes encouragement. It's not all that bad, darling. You know, he loves you, or she loves you. Don't feel bad about the child. The child just didn't know any better. Don't beat the daylights out of them. Just grab them, pray with them, and love on them and stuff like that. So he gives you ideas how you can encourage that with making you feeling terrible. It is a highly subjective ways of hearing God. Hear what I say? It's a highly subjective ways of hearing God voice, because it's quiet and it's internal. Deep down is that like somebody go, pfft, pfft. Hey, I guess I'm going to say to you, hey, John, what's up, I'm going to say to you. So it's a highly subjective ways of hearing God's voice, because it's quiet and more so it's internal, deep inside. The still small voice must be judged in light of the desires of our hearts. So remember that. I don't care how still and small it is, you still judge that thought, okay? The still small voice must be judged in light of the desires of our heart. Now, communicating with the Lord should be a habit for every believer. I don't need to tell you that. That's what he told me. He said, we serve a speaking and living God who enjoy communicating with his people, and the Lord often speaks to us within our spirits. He talked to us within our spirits. Remember that. I think I want to go. No, I've got one more thing I want to say. See, with all the various ways God can speak to his people, guess what? He often speaks within our spirit. That's the way he talks to us mostly. You keep talking, you feel his breath hitting your face and stuff like that. With all the various ways God can speak to his people, he often, y'all, speaks within our spirit as an inner voice. He speaks to us, to our spirits, as an inner voice. When you feel your thoughts coming into your spirit, say, you ought to do this. Don't go there. Do this. I just had a buddy that called me and said, do you know, John, I was on my way to work. He was a Christian. He said, but something told me to slow down and don't be on time. And I said, oh, man, I ain't never dead. What's going on? So he took a time. He said he used to walk out the door around by 7 because he had to be there 8. And he said, this thought keeps saying, no, slow down. You don't, no, be a little late today. Don't leave for 30 minutes. And he said, I don't know if it's low or not, but I guess I'll just put it to the test and see what happened. And come to find out, when he got in, when he turned the TV off at 7:30, when he said, leave the house, heard the news that there was a serious wreck. There was a drunken man, a big old 18-wheeler, ran across the intersection where he would have been at that same time, and he would have been killed. That big 18-wheeler killed a man and his wife and the thing. Had he not paid attention to that deep, deep, deep voice, he would have been dead. So you better be able to distinguish when it's your voice or when it's the Lord's voice. So I can speak to his people. He often speaks within our spirit as an inner voice. Don't forget that. And this can start as a passing thought. You know, you get just a passing, oh, man, oh, please. And you dispel with it, you know. That thought coming as, you might see it as a passing thought. Sometimes it comes just as a word. It may come as a concept when the Holy Spirit talks to you. It may come as an idea. And you find out you do the idea and boom, it made you rich. You say, my God. you might get an idea to go to this place. You go, I don't know if they got something, but I'm going to see if they got it open. And you walk in the door at the right time. Because you got an impression. That was the next word. He thought, sometimes he speaks to you through your thought. Sometimes a word may come into your mind, or some concept, or some idea, or some impression. And oftentimes, the Bible says, we are not aware of the inner voice. Because, you know, we rookies, babies in the Lord, stuff like that. We got to learn this. Oftentimes, we are not aware of this inner voice speaking. And so we just dismiss it. And so the Holy Spirit said, my Lord, I had this blessing for her or him, and he dismissed it because he hadn't recognized that was me talking to him or her. And sometimes as a result, you skip over the Holy Spirit's voice, not understanding that it was actually the Lord himself speaking to you. So when the thought comes to you, before you dismiss it, you sit down and think about it, Lord, is that you? You know, in Jesus' name, Lord, is that you? Or you say, Holy Spirit, was that you, Lord Jesus? Or Father God, would you just, sometimes I don't know who better. I go, Father God, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, Holy Spirit, Spirit too. With so, can I do this? That's what I do. I got to have a spirit in all three of them. I don't miss nothing. Now, Jesus said, you got the Holy Spirit, and I'm going back home. But every time I press it, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And then when I want to know something, I say, now, I'm talking to all three of y'all. I say, I'm talking to you, Father, and I'm talking to you, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, and I'm speaking to you too, Holy Ghost, Spirit of truth, and you're my counselor. And so, you know, I don't know what to do, so I'm coming to you, Jesus, you're my counselor. So I'm going to speak to you this time, because he's up there in heaven. So, can I do this, or what should I do? And so, that's what I told them. We cannot put God in a box, remember that. God can communicate more than audibly, but supernaturally and naturally if we pay close attention. He speaks to us supernaturally and as well, more so than naturally. God can speak to us even when he is silent. Can you believe that? That's what he said to me. He said, you know, I can speak to you when you can't even hear nothing. I can still speak to you, but you hear it in your spirit. God can speak to us even when he is silent, triggering us to pursue him. You know, I haven't heard from God. And you say, I just care from that. I want to do this and I want to do that. And he can make you come because you're hungry for him. And you go to him because you want to get a response from him. The still small voice, however, represents his grace. When I say grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace to me means God, righteousness at Christ's expense. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Now we come to the first person. That's another way he speaks to us. First person. With him, I speak face to face, clearly out in riddles. You see, well, when I say first person, I bring it down to you. Ready? That's when God is speaking to you. And sometimes God can speak to you through another person, but it still can be considered first person. You know why? Because there's a person who says, the Lord says, I am that I am, so on, like that, you know, because when you're not speaking, because I know most ministers and bishops, when they pray the right way, they say, but they're speaking for God. They says, the Lord says so-and-so, the scripture says so-and-so. But you notice when those, and that's the way you do it. You remember in the Old Testament when those apostles and everybody was talking about the Lord? You say, when they say something, thus says the Lord God, they start to let you know, say, it ain't me talking, y'all. I'm just repeating what the Lord just told me. And sometimes they may just go right on repeating what the Lord wanted to say, you know, in the Old Testament. When they get through, how do you end it? They say, the word of God. Sometimes they start to say, thus says the Lord God. I say, it ain't me, y'all. And he'll just go ahead and then when he ends, he says, thus says the Lord God. He said, I ain't taking your glory, God. You told me to tell them. I'm making sure that they know who's talking to them. So God will use that person as the first person to talk to you. Okay. With him, there's a story about Moses and Miriam and Aaron. And Miriam and Aaron, her brother, was mad at Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. And remember this? I remember this. Is, with him, we're talking about with Moses. God's talking to Miriam and Aaron because they were jealous. They were jealous because God was always speaking to Moses mouth to mouth or face to face, they called it. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, says this. With him, I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. In other words, by God talking, he can see a form, but he got to see really God manifest in the flesh and blood like that, but he can see a form. So he sees the form of the Lord. And when men, let's see, why men will not be afraid to speak against my servant Moses. He said, don't be afraid. They were not afraid to speak to Moses when God, in some kind of, form. And he says, Moses, my man, I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. Now, when the Lord communicates, guess what? He will often speak directly to us in first person. In first person, how you know when he says, I am, say he want me to speak to you, and then say something to you, and I go, you know what? I am said so-and-so. I wouldn't say, well, let me tell you something, so-and-so. The Lord told me to say that. I thought I would say, the Lord says to tell you so-and-so. So when the Lord communicates, he will often speak directly to us in a first person. In first person, God identifies himself. In the first person, God identifies himself with the word I. And you are the person he is speaking to directly. first person makes his speech very personable and intimate. Sometimes, guess what? God makes himself known to his children directly and plainly. And if you remember some of the scripture, the Bible says that God spoke to Moses mouth to mouth, basically, in first person, because he himself speaking. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Sometimes they say mouth to mouth, face to face, means the same thing. As a man speaks with his friend. The Lord replies to Moses, presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And when Moses was sent to Pharaoh to deliver God's people, remember, out of bondage, Moses asked God what to say. God asked Moses what to say. Amen on that. God asked Moses what to say. And the Pharaoh asked who sent him. God replied in the first person, telling Moses to say this. Say, I am that I am sent me. And y'all know the story and y'all have to move and everything else. So when he's speaking on God's behalf, that's how God said, I'm speaking now. I'm just using his vocal cords. I'm using them now. God replied in first person, telling Moses, because Pharaoh said, who do you think you are? You these people, huh? Yeah. He said, it ain't me, brother. He says, God told me to come here. Yeah, uh-huh. What did God tell you? He says this. He didn't say, don't do this and don't do that. That's what he told me. Uh-uh. He says, I am. He said, God said, I am. That I am sent you. The message was spoken in first person, even through Moses, even though Moses was sent as a prophet on an ambassadorial assignment to bring liberty. Now, remember, another thing I learned, when the Lord speaks in the first person, it is what the scripture describes as mouth to mouth. And when I look at Numbers 12, verse 8, Numbers 12, 8. Okay, it says, with him I speak, talking about Moses, with him I speak mouth to mouth clearly, and not in riddles, and behold, the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's married because, you know, he married an Ethiopian woman. But he says, when I speak mouth to mouth with Moses clearly, and not in riddles, I don't speak in riddles, I'm guessing, and nothing like that. And so he said, I speak to him face to face, or mouth to mouth. But when he's face to face, that just means that he can see sort of like an invisible type thing. Moses was a friend of God, y'all. He spoke to him as in a direct language. He could understand. And guess what? God wants to speak to us personally and directly daily. That's what he wants to do. Then you got the dark speeches, how he deal with us in dark speeches and riddles. Guess what? This comes from Numbers 12, chapter 12, verse 8. Verse 8 says, with him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? That's God again talking about his servant Moses. God spoke with Moses face to face. Y'all remember that? Clearly and directly and not in riddles. Man, oh man, what a relation to have. Can you imagine God when speaking to you, come down here, everybody need to talk to you, come in your living room, or in your dining room, sit down, chit-chat with you. Man, that's something else. God spoke with Moses face to face, clearly and directly, and not in riddles. But sometimes the Lord would say something in riddles, a dark saying, because we're talking about dark speeches and riddles. Sometimes, But sometimes the Lord would say something in riddles or dark sayings, so that the hearer would seek out the true meaning of what he was saying. He said, I don't quite understand what he was saying. He did quote some scripture, so maybe I can go look at the scripture. And then they look at it and mull over and everything else, and the Holy Spirit give him or her a revelation, what the friend was saying to him or her. Say, so you ask, so what is, you ask me, what is a riddle, Brother John? What is a riddle? Well, a riddle is a statement or question or phrase having a double, another meaning, can have a double meaning, put forth as a puzzle to be solved. And God did that a whole lot. Jesus, especially when he was talking with those Pharisees and Sadducees. Sometimes, every time they ask him a question, you come right back and ask him a question. And sometimes he would speak to his apostles, disciples, and tell them things. But when he's speaking to others, sometimes he speak in riddles. And so I don't understand what he said kind of thing. You got to see that what he meant. So you ask, what is a riddle? A riddle is a statement, a question, a phrase having a double meaning put forth as a puzzle to be solved, to be solved. God doesn't want to confuse us now. Remember that. When he speaks to us, however he looks to be us, every time he sought after us, oftentimes he does this to what? Incense our appetite for him. So he gives us and build everything else. I'm finding out what he said. I ain't gonna let that slide by. I know he's tricky. He's slick. I know he's trying to tell me something. I'm going to look it up. Because next time he told me, I'm going to tell him I understood what he said. See, we are not to try to fully explain God, but to have faith and believe in him. And we should pursue him to understand his ways and listen, obey, and respond to his voice. Dark speeches. He gives us riddles. Also, what comes to mind is when God speaks to us in riddles and dark things, it's not that he doesn't want us to know things. I said, thank you, Jesus. It's really the opposite he does. So he gives us, cause I don't understand what you said, but I'm going to look the scripture up and see. Because sometimes you look at some scripture, so you get other books and everything else to help you understand. I try to look up other versions and understand what that scripture is saying. Sometimes God may give you bits and pieces of things, but not the whole, not the full revelation, of understanding. Sometimes, let's see, sometimes it may take us much time to dig it out through studying until it makes sense. So maybe we have to go to the Word and just study the Word over and over. Unraveling, understanding riddles and dark speeches will take the quickening response of the Holy Spirit. So then you go, Holy Spirit, help me. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives you an understanding of what God was saying. And then the one I really had the problem with, that was the thoughts. What number is that? That's number, let's see. Thoughts. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 7 number. I'm on number 5, perceiving thoughts. Number 5, perceiving thoughts. That comes from Luke 5, chapter 5, verses 21 through 23. It says, the Pharisees were talking about perceiving thoughts. Now, you remember they were thinking all stuff secretly, and God, Jesus was able to tell them what they were thinking. Well, that's what it is, perceiving thoughts. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow? Blasphemy. He came to forgive sins, but God alone. That's what he told me he's going to forgive sin. Nobody can do this with God. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. Now, one way that God will speak to us, y'all, prophetically, is through perceiving thoughts. Man, this is the heavyweight here. like I said, when you be thinking something, now who said that? Who thoughts are those? Is that Jesus? Is that the flesh? Is that the devil? That's the world. There's four kinds of thoughts can be coming in your head. So who's thinking that in your head? And that's one thing I learned. Because I'm thinking, nope, thought it was me. I still can't get over. I get a yoke and hear my voice. I rise up. Every time I thought it was just me. I mean, it's still a revelation to me. I don't care what I'm thinking. I got to stop and say, who thought is that? John, is that your thought? Devil thought? Jesus thought? Man, I'd be going. kind of think of. I don't want to screw up. So one way that God will speak to us prophetically is through perceiving thoughts. God will give you a supernatural ability, y'all, to know what's on a person's heart or mind. And I don't believe in mind reading. Don't get me wrong now. I ain't talking about no mind reading. It's because you know what's in that person's mind. Only God reveal it to you. So I want to say again, I don't believe in mind reading per se, because we don't walk around knowing what is on everyone's mind. We simply perceive their thoughts, and that's given by the Holy Spirit. There are times that God will give us acute insight and understanding into something that's specific on a person's heart, and that happens in many times, especially with Brother Emmett. I mean, Brother Emmett go to town on that thing, but the Holy Spirit really works. Because sometimes we'd be together ministering, at night and be teaching the Word and casting out demons and stuff like that and shooting. People want to know. And then he said, you know what, darling? Your name is so-and-so-and-so, and you got two kids. How do you know that? And it blew my mind when he started first hearing the Lord, And this one he did, and I'll never forget it. He was in my office. He was my assistant. And he was a neophyte. He was just learning, God said, go buy my Bible, John. I went and still bought my Bible. And he would sit there in my office. He wasn't ordained. He was just there because he was a freshman. He was a young dude. And he tried to commit suicide, and then he got over that, and he came to the hospital, led him to the Lord and everything. And he can hear the Lord perfectly, y'all, because sometimes he said, sometimes a pastor be talking to me and Brother Emmett, and the guy says, I say, I hear you teaching on demonology tonight. Watch what you say now. I have a thesis in that. I got a thesis, a doctor degree in that. And the Lord would tell Brother, say, he lying. Then Brother Emmett said, John, the Lord said, he lying. I said, oh, okay. So I go, well, you're writing a thesis. You wrote a thesis. You wrote a book on that. But since I'm into demonology, could you share one of your books with me? Where can I go to store and buy it? Click, click, hang the phone up on my face. It happened a lot. And sometime you call, what are you talking on? And so on. Oh, yeah, that was my favorite. Watch what you say. I'll be monitoring what you're saying, boy. Watch what you're saying. And then they say, boy. And watch what you're saying, boy. That kind of thing. I say, I know where you're coming from. You got to remember. Okay, how many degrees you got? I say, I got a master's degree in theology and a master's degree in counseling and a master's degree in human resources. But I'm higher than you. And I go, how do you figure that, sir? Well, I have a doctorate degree. See, that's Brian. He hired me because he got a doctorate degree. I say, well, you need to go back and look at the Bible. Who did God hire? He hired Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He passed over the Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm not saying anybody with a doctorate got the Pharisees. I'm just saying some full of pride and some not. Some just as righteous as they can be. I got a lot of my buddies who are doctors and everything. Love the Lord, you know, and the door's always open to me. And when I go, that guy's always praying about the Lord and everything else. Really cool. So what I'm saying is you got your bad and your good. And it's like you got bad cops. You got good cops. You got bad preachers. You got preachers. You got bad doctors. You got good doctors. Okay. All right. Let's see. Receiving thoughts. That was my number one case. I just couldn't. Because every time I think of something, you think it was me. And sometimes I slip and go, oh, man, why did I do that? Oh, that wasn't me. Then I say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Then I go, oh, Lord, maybe that's what you want me to do. And then I send a devotional book to him and say, thank you, Brother John. I was asking God for a book, but I didn't have no more money, and I don't feel too well to go to the store, but I still wish I had a devotional book so I can look at devotion every day. Thank you so much. It's been praise the Lord. The Lord, she prayed for a devotional, and the Lord used me to go to the store and buy one. It's like the Lord used me to go to Brother Emmett. Brother Emmett was sitting under me at the hospital, and he was just sitting there just looking at the sack of peas and everything else, and God had a calling on his life at the time. He didn't know it. And then the Lord said, John, go purchase Brother Emmett a Bible. And that was clear. I didn't go, who that talking to me? I knew that was the Lord. So I said, Brother Emmett, he comes running away. Yes, sir, Brother John. I said, do you have a Bible? No, sir. He said, I told you I just got out of the military, and then I was a gangster and all that stuff like that. I couldn't get a good job because there was prejudice. You know, they already had people handpicked who they wanted for jobs and stuff like that. And I said, well, the Lord told me to buy you a Bible. Come on, we went. Then he'd sit there in my assistant's office and read that Bible all day long. Till finally, one day, the Lord told him, I call you into deliverance ministry. You all know that's what he's doing. For the last 14 years, he was casting out demons left and right. And God said, show John that demons are real. And so when he go to people's house and they call, you know, God would give them a number. Something comes, call this number. That'll help your daughter who's possessed demon, possessed with a demon kind of a thing. And then he had me to go with him. Ask John, take John with you. Talking to those girls, those guys, those husbands, and they'd be full of demons. They're around there walking up the wall like a squirrel going up a tree, walking across the ceiling upside down to the other side. And the demon looked down there, come you know, that kind of stuff. So that's his primary, his ministry, his deliverance ministry, where people get possessed with demons. So receiving thoughts is my pet one, because I have to monitor. I'm always thinking about something. Perceiving, which time is it? 42, I got 15 more minutes. Let's see, perceiving thoughts. Let's see what I want to say. Okay, one way that God will speak to us, like I say, perfectly is through perceiving thoughts. And God will give you a supernatural ability to know what's on a person's heart or mind. Sometimes, not all the times. Sometimes. Because sometimes if I say, honey, I perceive that you are hurting inside. You mean, is that obvious, Brother John? Mm-hmm. And then they'll share with me. You know, I say, well, let me pray with you about it. You know, I don't have my job anymore. They take that company close out. You know, this kind of thing. One thing is, and I don't believe in mind reading either. You don't get, let me read your mind. That's a bunch of crap. That's demonic, okay? Not at all. I just wait on the Lord to tell him, let me see what he thinking about. And you're in the devil's realm by that time. There are times that God will give us accurate insight and understanding it to something specific on a person's heart. And, you know, they go to that person, they're crying about such and so and so and so, and they're hurting about so and so and so and so. And I remember one case when a person came and wanted to share with me when I was in the hospital. And Brother Emma said, excuse me, because she said, I want to speak to Mr. John. So she didn't know Brother Emma time. And then went back across the hall into his office and closed the door. And she said, well, I got this problem. She said the whole thing to me. She said, well, what do you think I need to do, Brother John, Chaplain John? And this one I about to do my mouth, my office to open. He said, hey, Brother John. I said, yes, excuse me, sir, if interrupting, but can I talk to the young lady? I said, excuse me, I know what her problem is, and I want to share it with him. I go, oh, yeah, he's learning how to hear God. Go ahead, man. He told a woman, said, well, you said to Brother John this, and you said this, and you said that, and you said this, and you this, and this. And you have two daughters. One name is Martha, and the other one is Mary. How do you know that? The Lord told me. He wanted me to let you know. And your husband name is so and so and so. How do you know that? The Lord told me that. And he told me what you need to do. And you tell the lady, give the lady advice how she can solve her problem. And I've seen that thousands of times in the 14 years I've been knowing that young man. Thousands of times. He really knows the Lord, and he hears the Lord with all his heart. And you can't get him to do nothing. I know women be left and right because he's a young man, kind of handsome like, and they be trying to seduce him. He can't even go to the store sometimes. Women walk up to him, I'd like to have a baby from you, this kind of thing. Lady, I think, you don't know. But I don't know. I'm a pastor, you know. And she said, I don't care. He said, well, I care. I ain't going to hell over you. Yo, you know what? Get out of my face. Excuse me. I just wanted a good-looking child. You'd have to take care of it. No. You can go about your business. Okay. Jesus was able to receive, you know, when every time he'd be tempting Jesus to come up to him about the chance, and he already knew his heart what kind of plan they got against him, what they're going to do. He knew what they're going to say even before they say it kind of thing. He was always able to what? Perceive their purpose for challenging his decision. He was able to perceive what their hearts were, evil or wicked. He knew exactly. And that's how the Lord worked with him. And guess what? We don't know what people are thinking at the time and every time. Only God knows that and his access to what, because he is omniscient. That's like, I mean, you know all that stuff, you know. But we can't perceive at times things that God discloses through the Holy Spirit. So sometimes if a person coming up to you with tell me, you know, I really like you, and you so, and the dude trying to rip you off kind of thing, could you help me? I had no food in 3 or 4 days, and so, could you have $5 or $6 spare, you know, because then I did one for liquor. Well, I didn't know for sure what I did was, I said, well, here's $5, thank you, sir, I was going to get something to eat. I let the guy go around the corner, turn the corner, and I said, what people want to keep around the corner? He walked around to the liquor store. I said, God, dog it. The spirit told me that's what I was doing, but I didn't know it. I just had to find out for myself, $3, $5 kind of thing. But sometimes he'll tell you who's good, who's mean you harm, who's full of crap, who's trying to help you, who's serious about helping you, who really like you for who you are, and this kind of thing. And but it's good to hear from the Holy Spirit. Just because the person handsome, good looking, intelligent, got all these greens working, hi, I'm this and that, how are you? And, you know, but you might have all the worldly status, but he got the devilish personality. The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. I come from Jeremiah 29, which is my favorite verse. It says, don't you know to have a plan for your life? Plan not to do you harm, but to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah says that. But I want to say this too. Remember, our ideas and our principles and our words and our mental pictures will grow more like the Lord's will if we stay in the Word, because the Word will convict us. Have you ever said something to someone young and they said, you read my mind? Well, that's what. You are thinking what they are thinking because sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, and the Holy Spirit unto it, you didn't even know what the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit kind of a thing. All of our boys, okay, I got 15 more minutes. I them on the last two. All of our boys, of love, that's just somebody go walk up to you and say, hey, man, or, hey, ma'am, do you know, hey, sister, so, you know what the Lord told me about you? What? Well, he said, you have this house, so, and they give you this money kind of a thing. But thank you, honey, that was the Lord. I didn't know where I was getting it from because I didn't want to beg. It's a shame about asking people money and stuff like that. See? God has unique ways of speaking to his people, y'all, in unusual circumstances. Oftentimes, believers are looking for confirmation of what God has spoken to them, you know, personally, I mean. Well, in either way, we can ask the Lord to confirm something. He spoke through a prophecy, or through a dream, or a vision, or a butler. So anybody say something to you, make sure you, you know what, you should be a nurse. Do you like medicine for you? Oh, yes. I really love the medical profession stuff. Well, the Lord is telling me, dear, I remember we went to this church and this lady was a prophet from out of town. The Lord is telling me, I got you, man. You need to quit this job where you are and go because you're a teacher, but you, no, what do you say? No, I don't need to know what you know because I'm prophetic. I don't need to know what you're doing right now. But the Lord said you need to go into the medical field. And it was about like 200 people in that small little school auditorium, you know. And she came from Chicago, and we had about, like, you had to say, me and my buddy went to see what it was like, you know, because we said, yeah, we see this one real. The Lord told me he called you into the ministry, and you need to quit this job at this hotel or hotel, whatever, and go back to school, Atlanta Area Technical School, and get some training, nursing assistant or something. Yeah, that's what he told me. You will be a good nursing assistant, and someday after you complete that training and everything, else, you can go back to school and get your nursing degree. And they said, what do you say about that? And mind you, about 300-400 people are listening. The lady looked at this prophet and said, ma'am, you're a number of the devil. What do you mean? You insulted me like that. What do you mean I'm a number of the devil? Everybody still go, what in the world? She says, you're talking about how I was born to quit this job and be a nurse. And that out, if you follow her, you can be a registered nurse in about four years at the most from now. And the lady said, ma'am, you're a false prophet. I've been a nurse for the last 15 years. You know I'm going to be one 15 years from now. I've been one 15 years, and so on, so on, so on, so on. The lady grabbed her head, and everybody said, ooh. Everybody got up and walked out the place. Okay. We can ask the Lord for a sign concerning something personal. Be sure you ask him, you know. We can ask the Lord for a sign concerning something personal, like your destiny, something like that. Well, I did that many times, but the one that really struck my attention was I had a person walk up to me and say, sir, you don't know me, but guess what? The Lord told me that I'm in the church, and the guy was one of the deacons, but he was a righteous man, loved the Lord. He was about in his 80s. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, Mr. John, but you know what the Lord told me, spoke to my heart? You know what he said? He said, what? He said, you're going to live till you're 97. Now, mind you, when he said that to me, I was 7 years old. I said, really? Till I'm 97? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You don't have to, but I would try to make joke. I don't want to allow the Lord. So I told a friend of mine who was a pastor, John, when somebody tell you you're going to be this, or God call you to do this, always ask for confirmation. And the Bible says ask for two or three confirmations. I said, I'm glad you said it. He said, just say thank you and write it down what the person told you, what the Lord told him or her to tell you, and put it on the shelf and let it stay there and see if it'll happen at all. So I said, that's a good idea. So I put the thing, I wrote it down and said, I was contacted by a gentleman today and said, Lord, say, I'm not going to die until I'm 97 years old. And I put it in my little space there in my study at home. And about like 3 months later, Brother Emmett was preaching and teaching. And then he stopped in the middle of the teaching and said, Brother John, you know, because I was listening. He said, and I was home. He said, you know what? Talking to me over the mic. He said, you know what? I just said, I got to stop teaching. The Lord told me to tell you something. I said, well, the Lord tell me you ain't going to die until you're 97. I said, you know, people are listening to you. Right? I was saying to myself, people going to make you making yourself look like a fool. He said, I ain't lying. You know, I don't lie on the Lord. I said, okay, all right. I put it on the shelf. I said, heck, man, I'm 7 years old. I ain't even know where. My mother died when she was 80. My grandmama died when she was 75. My aunties, there were six of them, they died in their 80s. And this joke, he told me, you're going to live till you're 97. And so I put that on the shelf, you know, on the shelf. And sure enough, he had just said what another man had said to me earlier, a couple of weeks earlier. And then 5 or 6 months later, maybe a year later, I'm on the phone like this with Brother Emmett. And then one of the ministers listened to me. I need to speak to Brother John. That's when he finished. Again, I said, I need to speak to him. He said, okay. He said, I told him you're not asking questions. He said, no, it's not a question. I got a message for him. He said, the Lord told me you're going to live till you're 97. That was the third one. I said, Lord have mercy. And I said, I guess so. And me and him got a hit there. I said, that's right, because I'm 97 years old and never had any medicine. I've never been in the hospital one day. The only time I got in the hospital when I played football in high school and broke my broke a finger in my hand, but I never was sick. I never had to spend a day in the hospital because when they patch up my arm, they send me home. So I never was sick. And when I take a physical every year, they say, "Here come that man. This man now 70. This man is now 80." So I walk in the other day. I said, "I'm 80 years old now." So they all said, "Let's see." They gave me the full 9-yard X-ray. They took my blood, everything else. They, "Yep, be the same. Ain't nothing wrong with you." "Mister, what you doing?" I said, "I ain't doing nothing." And I said, "Lord, maybe I'm going to live till I'm 97 years old." Because and then the doctor took me to come out and said, "Well, it's the better man, the well man, the healthy man." He said, "Let me ask you a question, John, because we all have a little situation. This is not an testing thing, but we all allergic to some kind of medication. What kind of medicine you allergic to? Because when you do get sick, we don't want to make sure we're going to get something that you're allergic to." He said, "So which medication are you allergic to?" And I go, "I don't know." "What you mean you know?" "I ain't never had no medicine." "Here I am, 80 years old, and never had any medicine. And nothing wrong with me physically. I run 3 miles every day, you know, kind of a thing." So sometimes God would speak to another. This one called the audible voice of another. What time I got? I got 5 more minutes. And then he had somebody say, "You know, the Lord told me." So somebody tell you what the Lord said? Be sure you put it on a shelf and ask it for it. And then the last one is the audible voice of God, but we all know what that is. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is my way, walk in it." That's Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verse 21. See, that one powerful way that God spoke to many of us, those guys in the Old Testament, was through what? An audible voice. The Lord would speak to his prophets, his kings, and priests. You know the Old Testament. And he'd speak to all his leaders in such a way that they didn't question who was talking. They knew it was God. The audible voice of God is more easily recognizable than the still small voice of God, because that's still you hitting the still small. It's like mental telepathy kind of a thing. But the Holy Spirit will help you hear God's voice, whether God decides to speak audibly, visually, inwardly, through impressions. He's speaking this way. Let me repeat that again. God's voice, when he speaks to us, he can speak audibly, visually. You see some pictures going in your spirit. Inwardly, through impressions. I say, "Well, I'm thinking this. I feel this way. I feel that. And I feel like I need to call sister. So feel aunt. She called grandmama." We were created to hear the audible voice of God as well, y'all. Remember that. Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves. And they heard. God, the first time God walking up to talk to them, they heard him walking in the garden themselves. They heard his voice, but they didn't see him, but they heard him walking. Can you imagine somebody standing in your garden in the backyard, and you hear footsteps going boom, boom, boom? So they heard God's walking. They hid themselves because they realized that they were naked. And so Adam clearly held a conversation with God because God called him by name. "Who are you? What is that kind of a thing?" And the last little point I want to say is this. I did a little summary. And I got bullets. I got a little note to myself. I said, "Okay, John, write this. When you can close out with?" I go, "Let me see." And I came up with this. Number one, we must be sensitive to God speaking to you. Number two, listen to God's voice. Number three, if he speaks to you, you will know that it's his voice simply by the Spirit and by the Word of God. Number four, if you don't read the Word of God, guess what? You will not recognize God's voice, and the devil will deceive you. Number five, I got, read it as often as you can. Six, be aware of his presence at all times so that you will be always of the slightest little nudge from the Holy Spirit. Number seven, I got, the importance of hearing God's voice. It must be obeyed when you do hear it. In judgment for disobedience, so when you hear it and you don't do it, you're going to get spanked heavily. Obedience is reward. Let me say that again. The importance of hearing God's voice, it must be obeyed. In judgment for disobedience, if you don't do what he says, I ain't going to say that person will get mad at me. They're going to think I'm a religious nut and so on and so on and so on. Well, you don't know. That person praying, "God, send me somebody that I know and respect that knows you, because I need to know if you love me, Lord." And then Lord telling you, My that's my best friend. She's my friend. I ain't gonna say nothing. She can call me a religious fanatic, you know, kind of thing. So the importance of hearing God's voice, it must be obeyed. In judgment for disobedience, you're gonna get judged for it. Obedience is reward. He gonna bless your butt. and then another one. I got number eight. You matter to God. He made you, and he knows what will fulfill you. He knows what vacation is best suited for your talents and your abilities. And you should proceed with caution. If a leading requires you to make a major life change, like leave this job, go to that job decision, it is a very short period of time. You question it, okay? You question it. Don't you jump in. He said, I'm going to be this. Go over there, and I'm going to get this job. Once you quit that job, you can go in. Before you go to ask God, that's what you want, because sometimes a job can be the best thing you ever dream of and everything else, but that could be how the devil persuades you to get out of God's will, because where you are, God may want you there for a certain time period, then he can exalt you, promote you to something bigger and better. And because the other person, well, how much they paying you over there? They paying me $10 now. Well, we'll pay you $20 now. Bye, y'all. We're gone, see? And God said, my Lord, I was going to make her a supervisor over this other department store or whatever, see? And the person can be making $30,000 or $40,000 a year, whatever. So proceed with caution. If a leading requires you to make a major life-changing decision in a very short period of time, you go to the Lord and Holy Spirit. And if a leading requires you to go deeper in debt, you better question it. Well, look, if you contribute this kind of money, you can double it. You go to hell. I got another thing. If a leading requires you to compromise family relationships, important friendships, question it. If a leading creates unrest in the spirit of mature Christian friends, counselors, as you share it with them, question it. Let me repeat that. If a leading creates unrest in your spirit and what your relationship you have with your friend and everything else, you question it before you go in and do whatever that leading wants you to do. Remember, God wants us to test the spirits, of course. And then he wants us to step out in faith and follow him and say, test it. You ask the Holy Spirit, ask God. They may not answer right then, but you sit still. You wait until you hear from God or the Holy Spirit. One out of two. And when you begin to listen to God's leadings, guess what? You often won't know why he is asking you to do something, but as you said, he will lead you down paths through unknown territory. And sometimes, for no other reason, y'all, than to teach you to trust him. Sometimes you have to do things to see if he can trust you. There may nothing happen out of that. This. God knows it. He's going to make sure he can trust you before he do to tell you what he wants you to do. And remember, the Christian walk is based on faith, not sight. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And lastly, for a truly authentic, exciting Christian life, listen for the Holy Spirit's leading. Test them, and they obey them, and then obey them. Cooperate with God. Say yes to him, even if it seems risky or illogical. And believers who make opportunities for the Holy Spirit, remember this, believers who make opportunities for the Holy Spirit to speak to them know that the Christian life is a continual adventure, because you always open it. You're always making time for to commune with the Holy Spirit. And if you open your mind and heart to God's leadings, you will be amazed of what he will do. He is more wonderful than you can imagine, y'all. And he is attempting always to communicate with you, often than you know or realize. And lastly, you have no idea how much richer and fuller and how much more exciting and more effective your life will be once you make a decision to be still, to be aware, and to obey God's of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord Jesus leading. God bless you. It's time for you to check out now. It's 11:02. God bless you. Let me get out of here. I'm 2 hours over. Bye, y'all. Have a good day. A good night. Bye.